My son's story begins in the ocean, a place full of secrets. Although he lives among you, he was born in the darkest reaches of the sea. I'd hoped to teach him the ways of the world, how to lead a good life and become a good man. But then, I was taken from him. Do good with your life.
See, look, you're under arrest for breaking and entering.
You want to know the real reason why I freed those dolphins?
It's because I felt like they were calling to me.
What are you saying? You can talk to fish now?
Dad, I went from holding my breath for 5 minutes to being able to breathe underwater. I can swim faster than a cigarette boat at full throttle. How do you explain any of that?
All these files contain pictures of people who have vanished in the Bermuda Triangle. I want you to join us, Lieutenant. Help unlock the mysteries of the Triangle.
I remember the day your mother's plane went down.
Who are you?
An exile like you and your mother.
Exile from where?
Atlantis.
Can you say hi to Captain Nemo and the Little Mermaid for me?
You can't run away from your true calling, Orin.
So if Atlantis exists, then how come no deep sea probe has been able to discover it?
Because it's cloaked in a shroud no modern technology can penetrate. The Bermuda Triangle. If you look hard and long enough into the deep, something's going to start looking back. Creatures in the deep you couldn't imagine in your worst nightmares.
Well, that's reassuring. Thanks a lot.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Aquaman. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Aquaman TV show that did not air on the WB or the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I could not do this without my motley crew of Mr. Lance Laster.
What's up?
Mr. Matt Truex.
Hello, hello.
Miss Lauren Wynn.
Hey there.
And Mr. Cavante Chillis.
How's it going?
Very much looking forward to embarking on this journey, going through each and every episode of Aquaman. Not to be confused with the 2018 movie, we're talking about the 2006 television show, a.k.a. Mercy Reef.
Man, what a run.
Yeah, I have questions on that title because I forget where that came from.
Now, Matt and I have always fallen to Birds of Prey, and you know, something we really like about that show, it has that early 2000s flavor that we love so much of superhero television. Smallville, it's like a, you know, it's a spiritual cousin of Smallville. But Aquaman here is like the spiritual brother or sister of Smallville because it is from the creators themselves. Alfred Goff and Miles Millar created this show, executive produced this show, wrote the pilot episode that we're going to talk about in our first episode of this podcast. And it's crazy because, you know, I've never saw this show until right before we recorded it.
That's crazy to me.
I still can't believe that.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Pretty wild.
When was I supposed to watch
this? This was in my bones.
It's 2006 to 2007 when all of us did.
Yeah.
Well, see, I didn't watch it until I got the DVDs.
Okay, but
which
still,
was still like over the complete which was still before tonight.
You got the complete series.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Friend of the show Craig Byrne posted that it was on iTunes and at, you know, 95 cents later.
Now I remember the build up to the show cuz this was going to be the successor to Smallville because, you know, in the pilot of Smallville, Jonathan asked Clark, "Hey, how you feel?" And Clark's like, "Ask me about 5 years." They had a 5-year plan. It was going to be over after 5 years. And so thinking that
cuz those
way,
always work.
That's how it works. They always stick to the plan with the shows.
We know that.
What do you know about that, Lance?
Yep.
We know that.
So they looked at it and like, okay, Smallville's probably winding down. What's next? Right? What do we do next? And so the fourth episode of Smallville's fifth season is called Aqua, and it guest starred Aquaman, played by Hawk and Dove. What is he? Hawk? He's Hawk.
He's Hawk.
That makes more sense.
He's Hawk.
And Lila is Dove. Right? Not confused with Tyra.
Yes.
Who is here as a siren and was not Supergirl. We're talking about Friday Night Lights characters, y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what? You said Lila. I was thinking Lila Michaels. I was like, no.
The early 2000s was a very incestuous place of casting when it comes to all these shows we watched.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yeah.
We just revealed the divide between the group here.
Friday Night Lights is a great show, though. It's not terrible, but life.
I've heard.
It is. So, it's really good.
Have you seen Jack and Bobby?
So they're looking at this, and but no, Alan Richardson played Aquaman in Aqua. I talked about this on the podcast. I think he did fine in the episode. Clearly, he has come a long way as an actor, I think, in the last 15 years or so.
Yes.
Yeah, he's no longer singing to Paula Abdul for attention.
He's also, Alan Richardson, if you ever search like the That Was Close or Phew meme, it's him wiping his head. I don't know what show that, I think he was on a talk show or something. But he is a famous GIF, at least on Facebook and Twitter. When I search, phew, you guys just look it up right now. Stop what you're doing.
So he's getting
that.
All that GIF money. Good for him.
So he's getting those residuals.
Getting that GIF money.
So I understand why when they went to see, okay, Goff and Millar, they created Aquaman. You think it's going to be a spinoff of Smallville? That would be the logical thing you would think, right? But no, it's completely disconnected from his appearance on Smallville. Now there was talk later. Like, had it gone on and maybe they would have crossed over, they would have had to retcon some stuff or figure it out. Multiverse, am I right? Mm-hmm. Earth 168? Maybe not. But Justin Hartley gets cast as Aquaman. Now, Justin Hartley was actually not the original actor cast as Aquaman.
Interesting.
The original actor cast as Arthur Curry or AC. They even keep AC.
They keep
that was popular on Smallville and they keep it. They bring it over to this show. It's an actor called Will Toll, and they had creative differences, so he left, and they cast Justin Hartley.
Interesting.
So Justin Hartley, who we all know and love as Green Arrow on Smallville, also a star of my favorite show on broadcast TV right now, This Is Us on NBC, does a great job over there, and it's so cool to see him there, and it's odd because it's after Arrow, so, but it's like my Green Arrow from Smallville. So much like watching Aquaman, my mind is very confused watching all these things, but we'll get into it here. But they cast Justin Hartley, and then they fill out the cast, and we can talk about that as we go here. But he is Arthur Curry here. So this firmly places in a different universe than Smallville, but they use the same fonts. They use the same, you know, the music. I'm pretty sure Mark Snow did the music for this show. I might be wrong about that. They might have just used some temp tracks, but
some amazing steel drum work from Mark Snow.
There's a voiceover by Annette O'Toole.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I had not seen the show, right? But I had seen the trailer, of course, right? And like, they used Annette O'Toole to do the voiceover in the trailer. That makes sense. She's, you know, famous for Smallville right now. They probably, Annette, can you come in on your day off and record? We're doing a trailer for the new superhero show. Oh, yeah, sure. No problem, right? That made sense, right? Little did I know that was going to be the voice of his mom in the pilot episode. I was like, why is Martha? Why both their names Martha, too, in this universe? What is the deal with that? But Annette, if you've seen the trailer for Aquaman, which was called Mercy Reef Back and Forth. I remember Krypton Site back in the day when they had Mercy Reef TV or whatever they called it. Mercy
Funny.
Reef.
Oh,
Site
my God. Yes.
Because they were like, this is the next thing, right? They had Birds of Prey. They had the Gotham Watchtower.
Gotham Clock Tower.
I always switch those up.
It's okay.
Switch those up.
We're only 8 months into it, but that's fine.
So whenever these shows would be announced, you know, Craig on Krypton side, he was like, all right, this is the next big thing. And that was the idea. But they went back and forth with calling it Mercy Reef and Aquaman. They eventually settled on Aquaman because Mercy Reef sounds just like a generic, like, Dawson's Creek, One Tree Hill, Roswell, right? These are the shows.
It didn't stop them all the other time.
Yeah, right. But I assumed that was a move when it was just going to be a pilot. Like, no one knows what Mercy Reef is. So if we want anyone to pay attention to this, Aquaman.
Right. It sounds like Mercy Reef is a development title.
Yeah,
I think so as well. And then the other, what was the place that they, there was a third potential title, and it was the
Tempest, whatever.
Tempest Key.
Yeah, okay,
was the third potential title they were actually playing with as well. So,
because again, watching this, I'm like, no one says Mercy Reef once in this thing. Like,
no one says Aquaman either, but
well, fair.
That'll happen. So, what happened here with this show? We're gonna go through every episode. If you haven't figured it out yet, there's only one episode of this show. So, sorry to burst that bubble.
What spoiler?
I know. I'm sorry. No.
I thought I was going to be on a brand new show.
Kev made t-shirts. Like, how could you?
I made a Twitter page for this, man. Dang it.
But don't worry, we're still going to cover every episode of the 2009 Wonder Woman show.
That's right.
So that's that right. With everyone's favorite siren.
Yes. Oh,
siren and not Supergirl.
Not Supergirl.
Oh, my God.
So what happened with the show was, one, Smallville was a surprise success during season 5. It was extremely popular, and they're like, oh, well, there's lots of blood left in this turnip, as they say. I don't know who says that, but people say that. Lauren, you've heard that before. You've heard that before, right? You're acting like I just pulled a bottom dollar reference again. But you've heard the
bottom dollar I was with you with, but...
No, hold on. Hold on. Wait, hold on. Everyone else, do people say that? Blood from the turnip?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. The divide's getting stronger. I've never heard that before in my life.
Okay, so Matt is on my side.
Yes, I am.
It's like some deep South like stuff. Yeah.
I'm from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
That's North Carolina, not South Carolina.
If you haven't known, like, Texas is different.
I am a coastal elite. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
So anyway, there was still blood left in the Smallville turnip, so that kept going. But what happened was,
my grandma says that all the time.
Got a new catchphrase here on the podcast. Oh, so something happened between Smallville seasons 5 and 6, and that's why we're covering this now, because it was between Smallville season 5 and 6. The CW happened, and UPN merged with the WB. CBS was involved in owning them all. And so they look at their slate of shows, and they're like, you know what? We're not interested in Aquaman. So they thought they were going to be the next Smallville, right? They thought we're going to, this is going to be great. Next superhero show, let's keep it going. They thought the Arrowverse is happening right now. It's going to happen then 15 years ago. It didn't happen. So this show has nowhere to go. So they put it on iTunes. This is the first unaired pilot to ever show up on iTunes. And it was like the number one show on iTunes. Everyone but me was watching it. And it became very successful there.
Historically, it broke like the download record.
Yeah, it broke the record. Really? It was number one, like legit number one, not like a crazy subcategory number one. And they put it on home video with the Smallville series DVD box set, which Lance got when we were roommates. And I guess you watched it then.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So I'm still processing this because I saw it like less than 30 minutes ago. So
oh, fresh off.
I'm very interested to hear what all y'all think about this show, and I'm so glad all of us could be here to talk about this and dissect this fish.
Oh no!
Wait, do you mean debone this fish?
Fillet this fish.
Fillet this fish.
Oh my god!
So Kev, let's start with you, Matt. Had you seen this before?
No, I haven't.
Thank you.
I haven't had the pleasure of seeing
it. We're not alone. No. So what was your first impression seeing Aquaman, Kev?
Whew, it's a show. Let me just say at the top, as much as we're probably going to rag on this show, I definitely would have watched it.
I would watch the hell out of this show.
I definitely would have watched it. No, it was, I had a lot of Leonardo DiCaprio meme moments pointing at the screen because I recognize people. And so that's about it. The CGI was horrible. I hate the way they present military people talking. We don't talk like that. And, it was just funny. It was. I laughed at how bad it was, but I also enjoyed it. And Ving Rhames is in it. So
I guess this is why he wasn't in Mission Impossible 3. He was filming this. So I guess the shows at the end.
Wow.
Mission Impossible 3. Well, he's in it. It's the only one that he just kind of shows up at the end, like, "Hey, how you guys doing?"
Right.
You know. So him and Tom Cruise are the only two guys to be in all the Mission Impossible movies, which I love. But cool. So Matt, what about you, man? You saw it when? Did you saw it on iTunes back in the day? It like?
Yeah, whatever. 2006, I think. Whatever year this came out, I got it on iTunes instantly, and it was at the time where it was the first time I had an iPod that you could see. Like, it had this tiny little square screen, but you could watch video.
Yeah.
And every day, back and forth on the bus from school, I was watching Aquaman because it was the only thing I had on my iPod. You know? So this very quickly became a religious text to me, as all of Smallville did. That said, this was a tough watch to revisit, but I won't betray my younger self. I loved this thing. I wanted the seashell or the seahorse necklace, because of course I did on me. I was so excited, like, oh, where's Project Nautilus going to go? You know, but I was into it.
Very
but
good.
Things have changed.
Lauren, what about you?
I definitely saw it back in the day. I think I probably saw it around 2008 or 2009. I looked at this show a lot like I looked at Birds of Prey. I felt like I found like this buried treasure, basically. Like, oh my gosh, there's this whole other thing I can watch. And I thought it was really cool. I agreed with everyone else. It does not hold up very well, but there's some things that do hold up decently. I still think the world building was really was a really great thing to include in the pilot. I noticed this time around, I don't think anyone is actually underwater, like, at all. Except for, like, the first scene when it's not actually Justin Hartley swimming.
Very clearly not Justin Hartley.
See, I feel like there's this shot where he's underwater and in front of a green screen.
Maybe.
Yeah, that some stuff doesn't hold up. But on the other hand, one of my thoughts was it was a really wholesome pilot. Mm-hmm. Besides that horror movie scene when they find the dude.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we'll go into all this stuff. But anyway, so doesn't hold up too well, but also does. And I liked it both times.
Very good. Very good. What about you, Lance?
I think Lauren kind of summed it up perfectly. Like, it doesn't hold up, but it does. Like, I think I had the same reaction to it, like, when I saw it, like, on the DVDs. I watched all the special features, and I saw this. I was like, wait, this was a thing I completely forgotten that this was, you know, in development and could have been a thing. And then I watched it, and I was like, huh. And I don't think I really had much of a reaction to it. I think I was just kind of blowing through all of the special features. Watching it again here, I was like, oh yeah, I totally would have watched the show. Like, it's not great, but I totally would have been loyal and watched every single episode of the show, mm-hmm. and probably, you know, found people online who watched it and then tried to do a podcast with them. That's exactly what would have happened if this had become a thing.
We're just 14 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, this it's so odd to watch this. It's like some lost alternate universe of Smallville, you know, episode.
It's like a period piece in a way, like a superhero period piece.
Very true. But they capture that Smallville flavor so well. And so, you know, I just want to go down the cast and the actors real quick because there's too much going on. Justin Hartley plays Aquaman. Of course, we know him from Green Arrow on Smallville.
That was kind of his consolation prize, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because they said
it worked
well,
out.
You know,
I love his Green Arrow.
Who knows? It's impossible to judge it, but I'm like, it all worked out for him, clearly, on Smallville. And hey, now, like I said, he's on This Is Us, you know? So
right.
It all worked out for him on that front. Lou Diamond Phillips plays his dad.
La Bamba!
Yes. La, 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 Bamba!
Reggie Valens himself.
Okay. On a complete side note, like, I have been trying to watch Jack and Bobby for the first time, and he also plays Jack and Bobby's dad on Jack and Bobby, and that was a year before Aquaman, and then it lasted 1 year, and it got canceled after that. But I just like, wow, I guess this must have been, it's funny, you talk
tried
about
tried and true CW actor.
Well, yeah, you talk really about Green Arrow being Justin Hartley's consolation prize, they're like, oh man, Lou, thanks for being part of our show. Look, we got another one coming up. We got you, man. You're going to be the dad in this show. But yes, he'll always be La Bamba.
Yes.
I think pretty much
everybody.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So it's interesting here because in the traditional Aquaman mythology and in the movie, the general public is probably most familiar with Aquaman now because of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was, you know, Super Friends and
yes.
you know, Cartoon Network commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Curry is Aquaman's biological dad, you know.
Right.
But here he's just his adopted dad because they found, you know, Atlanta and young Arthur already, you know, on the shore or something.
Wait, I have a note on Lou Diamond Phillips real quick. I did think it was interesting. Did you guys have moments watching this where you were comparing it? You just could not help but compare it to the Aquaman movie? Because I kept on thinking, like, I kept on seeing these parallels, which was weird because this came out before Aquaman. And, like, I doubt the movie even once looked at this pilot.
I agree with you. I was seeing some Tamura Morrison in him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, exactly. It's like, oh, it's interesting that they chose like a Pacific Islander sort of actor. Not like chose, but like it's a coincidence, right? It happened twice.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I think, no, you say they didn't watch it. I bet they did watch it. Like, look, we can take whatever we want from this because no one saw this. Like, that's probably their mindset. So I can see them like take, because there's some things I'm like, wow, that is straight out of, you know, or later.
Well, yeah, like the siren.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So more Smallville connection, we have Denise Quiñones, and she is the Angel of Vengeance on Smallville and Not in the Vengeance Chronicles. Yep. Active to the rescue.
All right. Oh my God, yes.
Now, her character, we can talk about it, but that that surprised me at the end. With the reveal for
it's
her
a fun
character.
Twist.
That's mm-hmm. like a Arrowverse end of a pilot reveal. So
yeah,
my mom's evil.
She was Dr. Wells can walk the whole time.
Yeah.
What was the twist in the Legends of Tomorrow? I don't know, but I'm sure it was something.
I think it was Rip had a secret.
Oh. Yeah, and that they're not legends. That
yeah.
Are,
yeah. What a twist! Very on brand for that show. Now, Rick Peters, I was like, this guy looks familiar.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy from Hug, the bad salesman who does the handshakes. So again, bringing in these Smallville guest stars, my brain is just like, I get overload of all
was
like
he
trying
the,
to.
He was the
dots.
Government guy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was the guy in charge of Project Nautilus.
Yep,
with the predictably like Southern accent.
Yes, and the Ark of the Covenant room.
yes, oh my God.
Top men. Of course, Ving Rhames. I mean, I know him best for Mission Impossible, but he's famous for
lots of other things.
But this is, I'm shocked. Like, why did he sign up for this?
They probably
he's
paid
a paycheck
him
for 5 years. You know, I get it. Hang out in Florida a bunch.
He's your veteran anchor. Him and Lou Diamond Phillips are like your veteran actors. You're going to anchor the cast, right?
Till Lynette O'Toole comes up at the end of season one. You know. Like,
she's going to be the Sarah Lance of Aquaman. She's not really dead.
Well, I'm confused because I know nothing about Aquaman. Is he like a Vulko sort of character?
Yes.
Whatever his okay.
McCaffrey.
Is he that exact
That's
character?
That's what I'm saying.
They just weren't calling him that. Was
Correct.
It like a Laurel sort of thing or what?
Well, I don't know. Again, talking about the Aquaman movie, they totally watched this. They're like, oh, well, let's do that just with Willem Dafoe. I mean, that's all that was. We'll start your training. I was like, wow, okay. Because that is not something that's always in the comics. He has a very influx comic mythology. Mm-hmm. But when there is that character, he plays that role. So if he would have been called Vulko, you know, I don't know if that character existed in 2006, honestly. But
yeah, honestly, I didn't learn about Vulko until the New 52.
New 52.
I'm just now learning that McCaffrey is a comic book character.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, yeah, he is?
No idea.
Oh. He's like Henry Ducar.
Yeah, so, right. Well, yeah, okay.
And then we have Amber McDonald as Eva. And I'm like, she looks familiar.
And she was also in Smallville.
She was in Wither. She was Poison Ivy on Smallville. That's how I call that character. The park ranger who controls mm-hmm. plants mm-hmm. on Wither in season 6. She got, you know, Justin Harley got to be the Green Arrow. She got to be that freak of the week. So, you know, the good on the WB and the CW, you know, for keeping these actors, you know, around in the family, as it were. Jensen Ackles, the biggest winner of that, I think. And let's not forget, Jared Padalecki is now playing Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, he is.
From Gilmore to Supernatural, he's doing well.
And of course, we have Adrian Palicki, not Supergirl, from Covenant, season 3 finale. Literally everyone other than Lou Diamond Phillips and Ving Rhames, all of these people have been in Smallville.
Yep.
Every last one of them before or after this.
Yep.
Yes, Tyra. She is the queen of the... Tyra, yes, from Friday Nights. She's the queen of the unaired pilots because she was in this.
Yep.
She was in Wonder Woman, which we'll talk about, as Lauren said. We'll talk about every episode of that show. And David E. Kelly's Wonder Woman, okay? And Erica Durant wore her costume in another TV show. We'll get there.
Yep.
We'll get there. So stay tuned, listeners, for that exciting podcast.
Are we covering Harry's Law, too? Really?
We might. We might get there. And also, what is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff that she was
Mockingbird?
Mockingbird? Okay.
Oh, that didn't happen?
Did they film a pilot for that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They probably did.
Was it a Green Arrow and the Canaries situation? Did they do an episode?
Well, they were guest stars.
I don't know.
The idea was they were going to spin them off, but they were recurring guest stars.
Yeah, they were on for a while.
And I think they might have filmed the pilot. Knowing Adrian Pilecki's track record, they probably did. So, she...
Yeah, that's rough.
Boom.
That's
rough. I mean... She was great on Friday Night Lights.
Yes, she was.
Right. Three of us in this know that.
So her and Dove from Titans were like the two female leads on Friday Night Lights. So back before she dated Derek Jeter, not Supergirl. Dove dated
right
Jeter,
Mika
Kelly.
Mika Kelly.
And then finally, we have Daniela Walters as Atlanta. Now, she plays the physical Atlanta. But I was, so again, watching this first time, I knew Annette O'Toole did the voiceover for the trailer. And I'm like, wait, she did the voiceover for the show? And then, oh, she's ADRing all of Atlanta's lines.
Is
like,
she? I wasn't sure.
No, she's not.
Are you sure?
I didn't think so.
She sounded exactly like Annette O'Toole to me.
No, it sounds, it's very, as, trust me and Matt, because we probably watched this more than, like, you, Lance, and Kev combined.
Yeah,
it sounds very, very similar, but,
so why, no, why would the same, why would they not have that actress do the voiceover then?
I don't know.
I had a guess on this, just that when we see her, eventually she will be older and will be Annette O'Toole.
Which, again, then you cannot make it the same universe as Smallville.
We know this already.
And of course, again,
I didn't think about that.
I wonder if that's in like the series Bible, and then the Aquaman movie is like, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring back the mom, just like they did on the show. Dr. Chase Meridian from Batman Forever. So,
by the way, did any of you guys like look at that actress at first and like, I knew it wasn't her, but because I knew how many actors were in the show, I freaked out for a second because I was like, is that Helen Slater? It looks like Helen Slater, how she looked about 15 years
this,
ago.
This actress, Danielle Walter, she looks like everybody. Like, there were so many actresses that were running through my mind.
Here's the thing. I recognized her from a very, like, from a show that I can guarantee none of you watched or knew or know exists. It's called Hang Time. It was about a basketball team, and it was like on NBC or something like that on like Saturdays at like 11. It was Anthony Anderson's first gig because he's on the team, but she was the only female player on the team, and she could hoop, and that was the big draw. Great theme song for Hang Time. Wow. Kobe Bryant was in an episode. Yeah.
Well, podcast coming soon. Podcast coming soon.
You got to know that show.
Sports shows, man.
Always hold on to Hang Time. Coming soon.
So.
Oh, man. I'm down for that if anybody is.
So that's your cast of characters.
Wait, Zach. Are we forgetting that White Lightning and the Wonder Twins was in this?
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Kev. I did not forget. Now, White Lightning, for those of you who didn't listen to our episode on Mortal, in the second episode of Smallville 5th season, I believe Kenny Johnson, perhaps,
yeah,
is his name?
Tommy
He's
Lee.
Also in
Tommy
Blade
Lee.
In the open.
Well, his actor, but his character
yeah,
name was Tommy
Lee.
Lee.
Yeah, yeah. Tommy Lee was the character's name. He was the actor was in the first scene of Blade when they go to the vampire club.
Okay.
Anyway, we dubbed him White Lightning on the podcast because he had Black Lightning's powers, but he's a white guy, so we called
sure.
him White Lightning.
Sure.
And he's the sheriff who was like on Arthur's boat at the beginning.
Long night, AC.
Yeah.
He also like talks to him as if he's about 10, 15 years older and not like the exact same age.
Yeah, and they didn't go to high school
like,
together.
Brother?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What is the relationship here? So thank you. I would be remiss, Kev. Also, I do want to shout out the two other African characters. We have assistant scientist lady and woman at the bar,
yep.
I believe. But I mean, we're in the tropical...
And you look
tropical...
out for them throughout season one.
Like, we're in the... we're in the tropical islands. Should there not be some more color in this cast? I'm just saying.
The answer is yes, but also you also know that the answer is no.
I mean, Smallville, right. Kansas, I will like, all right, I under... Okay, all right, I
yeah,
see. But
yeah.
Like,
God, just... I miss Pete. God, I miss Pete.
Pete.
There you go. There's your cast. So... Mercy Reef, King Tide, or Tempest
King
Keys,
Tide.
Excuse me.
It's King
it sounds like this sounds like a Baywatch spinoff. Baywatch, Tempest Keys, Pilot. I guess it's called Pilot.
Uh-huh.
It's just called Aquaman because
I think it's just called Aquaman.
Though.
Yeah.
Written by Alfred Goff and Miles Millar, mm-hmm. and directed by the great
Greg Beeman,
the go-to guy for these pilots.
Yikes.
Wait. Incorrect. The go-to guy is David Nutter, but
that's
Greg
right.
Beeman.
The second
right.
go-to guy. David Nutter's not
all
available.
The other
you
episodes,
Greg
they won't, yeah.
Now, there is a quote that I wanted to read from Millar that they were considering a series starring Lois Lane, but felt more confident in the Aquaman show, according to Miles Millar. And they
Can
said,
you just describe my face right now?
That's
I'm just reading what they said.
That's a miss, yeah. Right there.
Clearly, had they done a Lois Lane show, it would have gone 100 episodes.
Yes,
or
but
at least
according
10.
To Miles Millar, he says, "quote."
two.
Miles Millar said, "quote." Aquaman was the first idea where we really thought we had a franchise where we could see 100 episodes. So,
an expensive water show that is shot in Florida. Yeah. Okay.
So there you go. That's I would have loved the Lois Lane show because then she would have left Smallville and then Chloe could have been Lois Lane and Clark could end up with her. No, I'm just kidding. We're over that. Everybody knows. Although there's a definite Chloe vibe going on in this episode we're going to talk about.
Yeah, totally.
I would ask you about that. I put a tab in that. I knew this was going to come up.
You guys know me too well at this point.
We're all hot and 20-somethings, but we haven't had sex.
Listen, what happens on Mercy Reef stays on Mercy Reef.
Okay? That's what I'm saying.
So, anyway, this didn't air, so there's no air date. And, you know, we don't need to go through the plot blow by blow. I have a feeling that Lauren has some very definite points she wants to bring up and very detailed notes. So, Lauren, where would you like to take the conversation from here?
21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Okay, I have 25... notes left. I think I've deleted like 8 as we touched upon them.
Very good. So why don't you just take the wheel of the Quint here, because that's a Jaws reference. That's why I'm saying the Quint. I wouldn't have named it the Quint, you know, the guy who dies. I would have called it Hooper or Brody, but what do I know?
Brody.
But Lauren, take us away. Where should we go next?
This, I'm very unprepared for this. I mean, my notes are
you
just
have 25
like
bullet points. How
that's
are you
25
not?
Okay. I got.
Well, My first note, my very first note was wow at this B-roll because it starts off and it's just like,
oh, it's just cool. Yes. Oh, the baby in the pool. Yeah, Nirvana.
That was Nirvana baby, right? Why would you use the Nirvana baby?
Because, no, first I was just amazed at, like, this, like, Nat Geo, like, clearly dated, like, probably shot at a different aspect ratio B-roll
right,
that they put in here.
Out.
And then there's a Nirvana baby.
Compare that to Smallville, like, meteor shower from outer space.
Yeah.
Discovery Channel stock footage. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shark.
Then I have a whole nother, then my next section of notes is actually kind of touching upon what we were talking about before, how we had weird parallels to all these things that we've watched that, for the most part, came after this.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote like, oh, a Justin Hartley character in a vehicular crash at sea. That's familiar. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
Boat, plane, sea.
We're with you.
But then also like at the end when he's screaming like, Mom, I'm like, oh my God, this is so Flash pilot. Like,
yeah.
It's this little boy
I'm
missing
telling
his mom.
You, they circulated this pilot. They're like, look, guys, nobody's seen this. You can rip it off. They're not going to know. So,
and then he's standing on a whale, and it's like the Man of Steel.
It's exactly like Man of Steel.
I thought of that, too.
Think of an island. Yeah. Make it small. And he's got the necklace, just like Clark has the codex around his neck. Not the codex.
Sure.
He has the key.
Right. That is a, that's a note much later on, but my note on that is this seahorse thing is so underwhelming by 2020 standards.
Yeah.
But it goes.
Like, it looks like something that you would put a quarter into a machine and you would get it out in like a little
yeah,
like, that's plastic canister. We had an art fair on the dock today.
But Matt still would have got the prop made for
100%.
Himself and worn it every day.
If it came into yes, my office, it'd be mine. But, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's supposed to be this like very unique Atlantean thing. Yeah. Like, it's a seahorse. Like, I can go down to the...
With,
you know,
seashells. With
seashells. Yeah. It's like, where did you find
you
these seashells?
It
must be
Florida
Atlantis.
Airport.
Yeah. We have high standards, you know, being small offense. We have octagonal discs.
Yep.
And books of Rao and star blades, you know? I mean, we have high standards. And you're telling me this is just some necklace you can buy on spring break down at South Butter Island, but...
Yeah.
Talking about the crash at the beginning, like, so I get Queen Atlanta and all that, but I'm like, she's a pilot flying on a plane? Like, I guess.
Yeah, well, they were out doing ocean work. They were tagging sea turtles, which I thought, like, oh, okay, this is what she would wind up doing as, like, a human, you know?
Well, I was wondering, and it made sense at the end with the reveal of the Angel of Vengeance, who she really was.
Right.
But it made sense. I'm like, why is this portal to Atlantis opening? I guess when people with the necklace get close to the Bermuda Triangle, which, how 1970s is that as a plot device? I mean, I think it's a meme online. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's like, when I was a kid, I thought the Bermuda Triangle was going to be a much bigger problem in my life.
That and quicksand. And,
how many like in search of, like Leonard Nimoy, all these specials. Yep. The Bermuda Triangle is a mystery as old as time itself. And it's like, sure. But anyway, that opens the portal.
The blue beam to the sky.
The blue beam to the sky. That was my logic at the end when you realize, because you're like, oh, the mom, Atlanta, that opened the portal, and then Arthur got close to it, opened the portal, and then at the end when Angel of Vengeance, well, not at the end, sorry, in the middle when she has her accident and the plane crash, it's because she's close to the entrance.
Arthur's swimming underneath. He was swimming under her.
Okay.
And she was
AC,
looking at.
Excuse me.
I see. Yeah. Why not make it anyway? No, it's fine. So anyway,
Arthur's still kind of an awkward name. I understand why they made it AC.
Arthur. When I think Arthur, I think of the aardvark.
Yes.
I said, hey, and what I say, a wonderful hey. Kind of day.
That's the first thing that comes to your mind. Play.
You get along. Also, the Dudley Moore movie. Okay. Yeah, I get it. King Arthur, whatever. All right. I'm just talking about my truth. Right.
Arthur is great for memes. That's definitely true.
Aunt Lancelot.
Yeah.
You're the villain, by the way.
I sure am.
Okay. All right. You are the villain.
Do you have any patrons named Arthur, do you?
No, I don't think so. They probably quit. Okay.
If they have, they're quitting right now.
Shout out to you, Arthur. You know who you are.
DW is the best character.
Lauren, what's your next point?
Is this really? Wow, you're just putting all this on me.
Can we talk to real quick? So, like, after he's saved by the whales, like, we cut forward and we see Justin Hartley for the first time. And he's doing some, like, very, like, weird mermaids.
Why is he, like, wiggling, like, through the worm underwater?
Through shipwrecks.
Wait, but it's not him. It's, like, this professionally trained swimmer that, like, has a brow that's very much not Justin Hartley's brow. Uh-huh.
Wait, really? I thought it was him. Oh, definitely 100%.
It was clearly not him.
Oh, wow. Watching this on a big screen TV revealed a lot. I didn't realize that.
It is him sometimes at the very beginning, what we're talking about. Totally not him. Totally not.
Wow. Wait, even like when those sharks are about to attack him for messing with that stingray?
Yeah, not him.
Not him.
Wow.
Okay. He's probably not trained to be even with sharks.
Yeah.
I don't belong on this podcast. I don't think Justin Hartley is underwater at all in this.
Like maybe one shot.
Well, but like, obviously they've got a tank in some of it to save her.
No, I don't think, like, even some of the shots where, like, for example, when he frees Denise Quinones from the airplane.
Right,
like,
that's what I mean, yeah.
No, he's, Clark like, and Lexi. That's not,
yes.
That's not yes. underwater either. That's literally just, like, they, I think they had a fan, and I think they lit it and, like, put,
got,
like, reflective material
his
on them.
All. Yeah.
I think the hair is the only thing where, like, maybe I could see it, but, like, the way it was lit, like, the way everything's, like, the lighting is diffused, it doesn't look like it's actually underwater to me. I think the bubbles
I always
popped.
Figured it was just a tank somewhere.
Maybe they shot through a tank, like, they put, like...
it was a commentary.
I don't think they're wet.
Okay, Justin Hartley, right? Is it good casting as Aquaman? I don't know. There's not really a template for Aquaman, right? Because we have, you know, Jason Momoa is light years different from Alan Richardson.
He's really concerned about fish.
But I like them both. Yes. So there's nearly, I mean, there's no iconic Aquaman. I guess Justin Hartley was fine. I couldn't help but just see Oliver Queen. Like, he's quipping and, you know, not taking things seriously. So he's come a long way as an actor. I think he's fine here. But what do you guys think of him as Arthur AC?
I thought he was fine, but I mean, I still, like, kept... either thinking Kevin Pearson or Oliver Queen.
No, I was just saying, like, the whole time, like, I keep forgetting this is Aquaman, and I keep thinking this is, like, a Green Arrow show. Until he swims.
Yeah, maybe when Ving Rhames shoots a freaking crossbow.
Yes, exactly! It's like, bup, 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 bup.
No, this is Smallville, so it's... I did not expect to see an arrow being shot in the Aquaman pilot. All right,
that was starring somebody who was.
You
got to
get
arrow.
In between the eyes. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
Like zombies.
And the thing is, it's an arrow, but it's like a there's like three teeth to it, so it kind of is like a trident,
yes,
like
it is.
Triangular thing.
And I swear that the get in between the eyes thing is from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That's how they kill the giant squid. You have to harpoon them right between the eye.
Right.
Interesting.
And Shaun of the Dead. Yeah.
So it's nice of them to get one 20,000 Leagues reference into here.
Captain Nemo doesn't live in Atlantis, you idiot.
Really.
I thought Justin was charming. I haven't seen him in This Is Us, so I haven't seen him like do like real dramatic acting. But
he's fantastic. Really?
I mean, that's kind of hard to imagine, to be honest.
He's really good.
Like a diss to him, just but...
he was doing soap operas after Smallville.
Exactly, yeah. and he was doing soap operas before Smallville, too, right? Wasn't he on Passions or something?
Yeah, Passions was the one. Yeah, then Young and the Restless. I remember I was home for some reason on a weekday. I'm like, that's flipped through the channels. Like, it's Green Arrow. What's he doing?
Getting paid.
I thought he was really charming, but he did very much feel like Oliver, but like a younger, lighter Oliver.
Abercrombie
which, like,
Oliver
in Smallville. Not Arrow Oliver. What's it called? Like Smallville Oliver. Yeah.
Right. Typical Smallville fashion too. I love the faded orange and faded green tank top and jeans shorts that he's working with here.
Mm-hmm. Right. I did notice there's one shot where he's walking through a hallway and his arms look so long, and it made me think of Michael Phelps, how his wingspan is actually like that of like a 7'1" tall guy, but he's like 6'5" or something. And I'm like, wow, they did cast a guy with a swimmer's body to play Aquaman. That's a lucky coincidence. I do not think anyone in casting was looking at his arms like, oh, he's a swimmer. But like, it's kind of funny to look at that and be able to recognize like that is what a swimmer looks like.
Well, it makes sense. And if anybody did have that idea, good on him.
So he owns the restaurant with Chloe?
Chloe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, but she's done with him, but also loves him. And again, they have not had sex.
I thought when I first, okay, so having first seen, I'm like, oh, are they exes? Right, I thought that's what the vibe at first, but I'm like, oh no, they're just friends.
They're not just friends.
Are they adopted siblings?
Very, very close business partner friends.
Emotional gauntlet here, because I'm like, oh, this is gonna be the Chloe, right? And then I thought they killed her. I was like, oh my god, because she got stabbed through the heart with the freaking
claws.
It's pretty metal,
and I thought she was dead.
Yeah. I was not expecting that.
And when she shows up in the hospital room at the end, don't worry, guys, we have a counter at the end of this conversation, don't worry. But I thought she died, you know?
And on the boat, too.
Well, no, because like McCaffrey's like,
But then when he wakes up on the boat, like there's a picture of the two of them right next to him. Like just rubbing it in.
We've got bigger fish to fry.
I laughed so hard at that scene because it appears
really
that Ving Rhames,
son of a bitch.
Ving Rhames was just sitting there looking at his unconscious friend as the boat's rocking. And the moment he wakes up, he's like, I'm sorry about your friend. it's so awkward, man. Ving Rhames was like, he's the reason I laughed the most in this episode.
He is out of place. He's a fish out of
belong.
Water. Am I right?
He does not belong in the show.
When he gets to the whole, like, it's known by many names, I'm like, oh, there we go.
You probably know
is. Can we please talk about not Chloe? I have a lot of thoughts about her, and I want to know everyone's thoughts on her.
Right,
let's do
go for it.
Let's do it.
Okay, so first off, she appeared. I'm like, oh, Zach's in love with this chick. I can tell.
That's correct.
My exact note is I remember being so turnt he was BFFs with this gorgeous girl. That's like a word for word what I wrote. But at the same time, I also like I remembered and forgot it. It's so interesting. Yeah, their relationship is like, oh, best friends, business partners. She also knows about Atlantis. Like he told her that. He didn't keep it from her. So I was like trying to figure out, okay, in the Smallville like scheme of things, how would this have played out? Do they do the thing where like she's like the like you know the best friend and then like three seasons later she's this bitch and she's like totally unrecognizable and they just like run her character to the ground and make her mean and like evil and like totally like, hating on the main character?
She's gonna be the Duchess of the Deep at some point.
Duchess of the Deep.
That's another thing.
Me too.
I was
like,
no, because I was like Eva Mara.
Okay. Yeah, oh yes,
so
yes, 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 yes.
She's
got
powers.
You
want to
know
like,
my? You want to know
what?
My thoughts? Yes.
Oh,
I thought she was going to be
Mara. No, hold on, Zach. Exactly. Of course you thought that because she's Chloe and you think she's going to be Lois Lane. Of course you think that this character
what are we gonna
is going to be.
I submit to you. I was thinking about this too. If the pilot of Smallville existed and it never happened, right? And it got leaked on iTunes, right? And you watch Smallville, you're like, oh, well, that chick's going to be Lois Lane. Lois Lane's the letters spell Chloe Sullivan. It makes perfect sense. And people will be sitting here saying that would have been Lois Lane if that happened.
The letters spell Chloe?
Yeah, you can't spell Chloe Sullivan without Lois Lane.
Yeah, me and Matt were doing the same thing. We're like,
what?
Me, Matt, and Cavante are just like, we look like the calculus lady.
You know, spell Lois. C-L.
All right. Yeah, just for the record, everybody, I'm over that. All right.
Are you?
No,
I'm not
he's
convinced.
Not.
I get what you mean.
No, Lauren, to answer your question, though, that's why I thought, oh, well, she's dead because she knows everything. He told her that we got to kill that character off, right? And he's going to inherit the restaurant, and now it's going to season one. Oh, I gotta manage this restaurant by myself, but also save the city from giant squids.
No, he's got to go back to her and be like, he made me read Shakespeare. What the hell?
Yeah.
like, here are the 3,000 thoughts I had about this character in this episode. One, oh, she is kind of like the Chloe Sullivan. But wait a minute. They, like, dog on each other too much for her to be Chloe Sullivan. She's also, like, the Lana Lang. Oh, wait. But her name is Eva. And that's, like, not... It's similar enough to Mara where it's, like, what if... She, you know, what if she's, like, the great love of the series? Then my other thought was, but... She doesn't seem to have any sort of magical powers. Okay, but these shows just randomly give people powers all the time. Like, they're...
Yeah,
sure.
They could have done anything with this character. What do you guys think the intent was with the character?
Villain later, because they dropped the Duchess of the Deep thing. And
she's got the red hair. Yeah.
And, like, you know, after having to, like, look up Duchess of the Deep, I was like I see the word apocalypse. I was like, oh, well, there it is. She was going to be a bad guy later. That was,
yeah,
my thought. Yeah,
because they also do stuff like that. Like, sometimes they'll take a character and, like, you know that they're going to be the villain. Yep.
Oh, their friendship's going to be the
stuff. Because also, Denise
Quinones,
like, has that sort of, like Lois Lane, like, oh, you saved me. Like, that sort of, yeah, like, you know, right, oh, my hero moment.
Mm-hmm. They took the twist.
She's a fish, people.
They took the twist I thought they were going to do with Eva and gave it to the pilot, yeah, Angel, right, of Vengeance. I was like, oh, well, she's going to be Mara. And then she looks like her and stuff. They're going to figure that out. But apparently it was the Angel of Vengeance the whole time.
Basically, it's really confusing. And you know what? Shout out to the CW/WB for temporarily being able to confuse all of us. Because, you know, normally we can't see everything they're right, doing 3,000 yeah, miles away. Yeah, it's an interesting character. Oh, side note. She gave me a little bit of a Lucy Lane vibe from, like, Supergirl season one.
I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, by look and a little bit by attitude, yeah.
Well, and then seeing them all walk around in swimsuits and stuff, I'm like, I am kind of shocked that WB or CW didn't, like, continue, because they would love that. Like,
yeah,
let's get young, beautiful people walking around in swimsuits, and they don't have to explain why. Like, they're just, right, they're
what are they talking about? I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the OC was for, like, the first 2 years.
Right.
That's a good question, Lord. Like, where would they have gone with that character? She would have been the confidant character, because his dad doesn't know about Atlantis or anything, so he's got to keep, right, that secret from his dad. And
he doesn't have a guy best friend either.
But it's also
Chloe, is everyone, basically, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because, like, yeah, we're like three episodes away from secrets and lies, mm-hmm, and deception from everybody here, you know? Like, so she'd get into
three
some,
episodes away from, I thought
stuff,
you of all people. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the exact dialogue, Lord, exactly.
Meanwhile, in this scene too, we also meet Ving Rhames, who comes in and orders a drink, and AC, the bartender, is like, a little early for happy hour, isn't it? And it's like, you own a bar, you are open. Give the man a whiskey or whatever he's asking for.
Serve him.
Yeah, really.
I'm glad at the end of that conversation, he was like, "Who are you?" Because I couldn't tell. Like, do they know each other?
Yeah,
like, yeah. There was a bit of that.
Keep the change.
Ving Rhames, man.
Just a, yeah, baby boy.
Every time Ving Rhames spoke, I just heard Arby's commercials in my head. And and also, the moment he had a crossbow and started explaining the world to him, I just thought he was like some, like, knockoff Blade that was in, like, the water. So I started calling him Aquablade.
Aquablade.
Now that he's Aquablade in my mind, I can't. What's his, it's McCaffrey, but he's Aquablade.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
I know.
McCaffrey.
It's okay. We'll find out in the next episode.
Yeah, who cares?
We'll clarify it in episode two. Oh,
I don't think we can offend anyone with this podcast episode other than just, like, how badly we're talking over each other.
That's the risk you run. We have, you know, a lot of people having a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys feel like you're sitting here with us laughing about this absurd show, which we all agree is not the best TV, but a hell of a lot of fun to discuss. So
it was, like, a good 40 minutes.
Yeah, this massive show requires this many people. This is a massive show.
Well, we talked a lot about Chloe. I guess let's talk about what Lana Lois. Who would the Angel of Vengeance be? How would we classify
her?
Who
knows?
Well, she's Mara.
I mean, she's the Mara. Yeah.
No, is she? Because that's a whole other. Okay. Side note: the subplot that I didn't even know, because I knew nothing about this, you know, beyond the promotional materials and stuff, the, like, pilots who go missing in the Bermuda Triangle become immortal Atlanteans.
I think some faction of Atlantis is kidnapping surface dwellers and turning
them
to
immortal.
Their side. Yeah, if only we knew.
It reminded me kind of like Alcatraz.
Yeah, yeah, I was just about to say that.
You ever seen Alcatraz?
I have.
No, I remember that.
Another great one season wonder canceled by Fox.
That was a supernatural thing to that too?
Oh, yeah. Yes, there was.
Because, oh, okay.
Sam Neill from Jurassic Park and Merlin,
yep,
the NBC miniseries. My favorite Arthurian legend, speaking of Arthur, mm-hmm, and Lancelot.
My gosh. All...
it's all hashtag, it's all connected. He plays, like, I guess he would be the hug handshake guy from this episode.
Yes.
He's investigating how Alcatraz, when it closed in 1963, it didn't really close. Everyone just disappeared. And 40 years later, 60, God, how old is he supposed to be?
I don't know.
All those characters are coming back mysteriously, and they have an age today. Okay. Yeah. And that's what I'm like, oh, God, even Fox people are watching this pilot, ripping stuff off from it.
On March 21st, 1963, Alcatraz officially closed. All the prisoners were transferred off the island. Only that's not what happened. Not at all.
That was a bizarre subplot. I thought just discovering Atlantis alone would have been enough,
yes,
of a motivation. But now we have, like, I mean, that's because I'm into all that mysterious world, you know, paranormal stuff, like outside of realm of understanding.
Right.
So tie in, like, hey, all these you know, Amelia Earhart would have showed up at some point, mm-hmm, on this show, right? Showed up on Star Trek Voyager. She was going to show up on Aquaman. Tying in that mythology of all these planes and people to go missing, like, I think that's kind of cool.
So do you think this would have been like their, I don't want to say freak of the week, but their excuse to have someone show up every episode, like a different person every episode, and have some unique circumstances surrounding them? Like,
interesting. Well, that's a great question, because it's not like the two that we know of, the guy that comes back and is like, I have to warn Orin, and the Angel of Vengeance, they're not villains or after him. It's the Siren that's after. That's a good question. I don't know what their villain mechanism would have been.
That guy you mentioned, Matt, I thought he was going to be Ocean Master, like his brother.
Oh, sure.
Oh, he was going to show up later
in
the show.
No, Project Nautilus guy is going to be Ocean Master at some point. You know?
And then you see,
it's like J.J. Abrams, Lex Luthor, Supertonian. It's like Red Flyby. That wasn't your ship, Superman. It was mine.
Right.
Flies away. Where are we in the notes, Lauren? How are we doing?
Okay, so here's an interesting point. Despite the fact that I have seen this, I knew that Adrian Palicki died in this episode. Or not Adrian Palicki, but her character. even though I knew that she was like a one and done, it's interesting rewatching this. I think that they gave her a lot of presence for like a one, for like a pilot villain, to the point where I was thinking like, oh, maybe they would have found a way to bring her back.
Her totally twin sister would have shown up to avenge her death.
Yeah.
She's the one that attacked their ship or their plane when it fell.
No, exactly.
Too.
Yeah. Like, there's like there's heritage to it. Also, like, because you think of like Jeremy Creek on Smallville, he's just kind of like a background shadow throughout the episode. But like, she like talks more and interacts more.
It's true.
By the way, like, I lost my mind like seeing her, because like, she was really, really blonde, and her eyeliner is just so mid-2000s. Like, I haven't seen that in years. It was kind of jarring.
No, I definitely think all Sirens would have looked like her, perhaps like a Terminator angle.
Interesting.
Mm. Or her twin sister would have come to avenge her death. I mean, Supergirl did the whole, like, oh, Aunt Astra, you look just like my mom for no reason.
Right.
And now you look like Lois Lane.
Gotcha.
So... yeah, you're right, though. That's a good call. But maybe she was like, I mean, people are like, you remember her from Smallville? But you could say that about every.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, you know, the dad, I guess he would have been in every episode, I guess. But he disappears from the show halfway through the, mm-hmm, the pilot.
Like, yeah, we like, don't see him after, like, he bails.
After the Coast Guard
said
rescue?
Ollie. Yeah, AC Ollie. Out of jail. Well, oh, right. The Coast Guard rescue. You're right.
See, think about, I've said this about the pilot of Smallville. Like, if you just watch the first episode, I always, Metamorphosis is like part two of the pilot, I think. It really completes a lot of stuff.
Yes.
If you leave the pilot where it is, like, on Smallville, like, there's a lot of unanswered threads. Like, Lex Luthor is just sitting in the cornfield with the Kryptonite necklace, and you're like, what happened to Lex? And, you know, so I think a lot of these things would have been followed up had they gone to series. And then who knows if they would have reshot some stuff, right? Smallville had its unaired pilot. They tweaked a couple things. Maybe they would recast somebody.
Right.
Who knows? Or maybe they wouldn't have gone to like the stock footage from 1997 of Shark Week for the opening sequence. They would have had, you know.
Well, see, if they would have gone to the series, I'm pretty sure they would have cast a redhead to either be Angel of Vengeance or Eva.
Well, Eva was kind of redhead.
Kind of, but I think it would have been like an obvious, like they would have cast like an obvious redhead.
Who do you think is Mara then, Lance?
I think it's Angel of Vengeance.
Interesting.
I agree.
But she's
I don't
a human.
Love their interaction.
She's a human,
then.
Though.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't love their first interaction. If that's
that's
if
a bait
that's
and
true.
Switch, I think.
That scene is so weird with them in the hospital room, and also starts this weird run-in where everybody's pouring water and like has a cup of water. And I'm like, okay, we get it.
You know? Yeah.
and again, that's something that like I haven't seen in any other version of Aquaman. I'm like, I need water.
Oh, oh my god! Mm-hmm. When Ving Rhames gives him the flask and he breaks it to get his powers, I'm like this.
I have a flask with my boat.
And then when he so like him and Ving Rhames are tied up in the Quint, he breaks the flask and has his powers, and then he breaks the ties. It's just rope that's tying them.
Yes.
But they put in the Clark like yeah. you know like metals going.
Uh-huh.
they were really so dramatic weird. With this for sure. I noticed that when Nadia transformed into a siren, she had like a very Mystique-esque like you know scale thing going on.
Yeah.
They really panned over it super quickly, so they didn't have to animate it as much. But like you do see a little bit of that flipping action. Side note: did anyone else notice that after she was like, after they shot her, stabbed her in between the eyes, she just turned into glitter, like literally
yeah.
just like yes. scales.
Yes.
Like, there's a shot of like plastic, like sequins just falling.
Mm-hmm.
and before that, the start of that sequence too. The stupidest shot in this whole thing. Is Siren CG her pulling the Quint with
oh,
like
yeah.
two ropes as they're going through the storm? It was just ridiculous looking. It's so funny.
Well, I was gonna say if you want to talk about like some quality Smallville dialogue, the not Chloe character does have a very Smallville Chloe line when she talks about the Starbucks.
They always look so cute on the coffee mm-hmm. cup. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like I can hear Allison Mack.
She
that,
has
basically.
She has some Chloe dialogue. Is something about. Something when he's telling about Atlantis too, it's like, oh yeah,
okay. Yeah. Can't remember what she was saying, but yeah, she does have something a response like that.
Yeah.
Who are any of these characters? Someone get Al and Miles on the phone. I need to know about the Bermuda Triangle and
the
disappearing
people. What's
the
motivation of Rachel, Lieutenant Rachel Torres?
It's so funny to hear that quote too that you were saying, Zach. Because it's like this. Watching this again, it feels like none of this is thought out at all, but they're like, no, we've got a franchise here.
We got 100 episodes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Oh, man. I don't know. So, Torres, Lieutenant Rachel Torres, right? What Denise Quinones, is she a bad actress? Is she not? I don't know, and I need you guys' opinion, because I can't decide.
We're all making the same face right now. It's
yeah,
not a
we
good
are.
One.
I don't think this pilot did anybody any favors, really. I think the writing
yeah.
of this whole
no,
thing
I mean,
is pretty
not,
rough.
Not, I hate saying actors are bad because I know I could never even try to do what they do. I noticed her, and I also noticed the other guy who was looking for Orin.
Oh, he was terrible.
Oh,
the pilot rough. From World War
yeah.
II or
yeah,
whatever.
He was really bad.
Like, literally... Literally, it was like, man, that was like the first read, like, bro. Like,
cut.
Like it was, yeah, it was, yeah, it was bad. But no, there was, like I said, it was bad, but it made me laugh. So I guess it's good, bad. It's kind of like, you know, so
sure.
bad it's good.
It's hard, right? Because you got to think about if you only watch Smallville's pilot and judge everything about all those actors and characters off that one thing, and you're like, how would I feel? I don't know. So you're right. I don't want to be too unfair.
Well, I mean, you know, most of her lines, because she's a lieutenant, just bothered me because she had to speak all the military jargon and be like super patriotic and stuff. And like, I don't like when military people are portrayed in television shows because people act like we're some robots who just like bleed red, white, and blue. We're just
people. She was quite a caricature. She reminded me of, okay, Lance Minimal like has to know what I'm talking about here. I hope everyone else does too. She reminded me of Gloria from Cadet Kelly.
Yes.
Oh,
oh my
I
God,
know
I know
Cadet
what you're talking
Kelly.
About. Oh my gosh.
We know.
Yep.
Come
we
on.
Know.
Come on. Do you know what movies I watch for leisure? You know I've seen Cadet Kelly.
I feel like whenever Lance is really, really good at pop culture, but like I feel like this is Zach.
No, I've never seen that.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
It's Hilary Duff's shining moment.
First, first anything.
And Christy Carlson Romano.
Yes,
oh, man. Dude.
Didn't. And they have that song, "But I'm a One Girl Revolution."
Yes.
Yep. The Disney Channel bops.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Off topic. Wow. Anyway, so she reminds me of Gloria from Cadet Kelly. Like her dialogue is just very, very stock. Like, oh, I'm a woman, and I have to be respectful when I'm asking you something. Blah blah blah, sir. But please respect me, sir. Blah 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 blah. I don't know.
Yeah. Permission to speak freely is not a real thing.
No, exactly. That's
it drives me crazy. Every officer in the military doesn't have a southern drawl and talks like that. Like, no, it makes me cringe.
Did he say the borough, like, at any point during this episode? Like, the borough?
I was just waiting for him.
I was just waiting for him to say that the entire time.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
I guess the handshake guy. God, I think Bob was his name on Smallville, I think it was. But, like, handshake guy, hug, again, that should be called handshake, or touch, or, anyway, we're not here to talk about that. I have another podcast for that.
Yeah.
But he's not even looking for Aquaman. He's looking for the, that's the thing, like, they're not going to come into conflict because he's looking for these returned human beings. He's not looking
for... that's a great point, too.
Aquaman. So, yeah. I mean, at some point, he would have, like, caught on to his activity. Well,
or maybe, like, the people that he's looking for are looking for AC. Because the first guy was.
Like, pilot guy.
Yeah, but, because, like, it didn't even get that far in this pilot. But, like, for future episodes, maybe that could have been a route they could have taken. Yeah,
so they came looking for, well, they chased not Ocean Master.
Yeah.
They didn't chase Angel of Vengeance.
Not Chloe. No. Not Angel of Vengeance.
Angel of Vengeance was from Atlanta. Well, no, she's not from there, but she clearly escaped. But no one came looking for her. So I don't even know how to, like, I like want to rewatch it now, like, knowing, like, I'm going to, like, see her scene with AC again, like, and see, are there layers to that? Maybe I just didn't.
Let me help you.
I was hard on the actress and the character. I was trying to give her a second shot, and you guys are like, no.
No. We're going to end up doing a season's worth of podcast just on the first episode.
Aquaman Minute. We're doing it. 42 episode podcast.
Oh, God.
Well, what I want now is I want Zach and Matt to write, like, the rest of the series, basically. Just do an episode that's like, okay, this is what happens.
Oh, my God.
Done. Let's do the season finale.
I need to
know
where this goes.
Yes.
Season finale. But it's a series finale.
Has to be.
Right. Right.
Episode 13.
Birds of Prey.
But do they know? It is a Birds of Prey. We're going to take up that challenge.
Okay.
But you can hear that on the Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. You can hear me, Matt Truex, here, as we are prone to do, write episodes of Smallville and or Birds of Prey. Or Aquaman.
We've yet to do the Birds of Prey. I'm down.
Oh, we're totally doing... speaking of Angel Agents,
we're
going to take her out and we're going to put Huntress in that.
But we'll put the Duchess of the Deep in,
Duchess
too.
Duchess of then the Deep. Yeah.
They all wind up in a bar in Florida.
Oh, man.
Excellent.
So this was this is a dumb thing, but, like, thinking of pilots and, like, the Torch offices were just this high school office and the pilot, and then it became, like, a real set. I'm like, are they actually going to go to this bar, like, this actual bar in a dock every week?
Oh, you're right. That's a location shoot. That's not easy. Sorry, guys. It rained this week. We're behind schedule.
Yeah. There's a hurricane here. Like,
I wonder where I didn't even know where they filmed this.
No idea.
I didn't know.
Tampa?
I've been saying Florida. Tampa. Is it close to Tampa?
St. Petersburg?
I mean, it's not the Pacific Northwest. It does not look like Leon U.
Yes.
So they have that going for it. Homestead,
Florida.
Let me see. Production was based... I'm on the Wikipedia page for Aquaman. Clearly, I did my research for this.
You did.
Production was based in North Miami, Florida. There's a North Miami, Florida.
I'm okay.
Yes.
Huh.
So estimated budget of $7 million. Practical and exterior footage was shot around Coconut Grove, Miami.
Where was that $7
million
split?
Pilot?
Did you see that jet scene?
I loved watching everyone on the Zoom just reel from that budget for a second.
$7 million.
Here, Kev, you might like this. The 482nd Fighter Wing Airmen were used as extras while filming at Homestead Air Reserve Base, along with several of their fighter aircraft.
Sure.
Man, afternoon well spent. Thank you for serving our country,
Jets. They could have been in a Transformers movie, but no, they went into the Aquaman.
Some of the actors received training from Staff Sergeant Leo Castanello on the proper way to present arms.
Hoorah, Leo.
Oh, look at this, Lauren. Much of the filming took place underwater. Justin Hartley filmed his underwater scenes without a tank, breathing from the safety divers' tanks around him for the scenes out on the ocean. He had never been scuba diving and was not a diver, but did say he was a good swimmer.
Yeah, because that's what you say when you want to roll.
Yeah.
Well, he was on Inside You with Rosenbaum, and he was talking about how he almost died during this pilot.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, because he kind of like, yeah, I'm a good swimmer, yeah, but like, you know, it's he's underwater all the time. He was having like a panic attack. I remember that story now, but anyway.
Oof.
That's rough.
Yeah. Lauren, you were going to say something on your...
When we were all like shocked at the $7 million budget for the pilot, to put that into perspective, most of the Berlanti shows, whether they're like 13 episodes long and on DC Universe or, you know, 22 or 23 episodes long and on the CW, their budget per season is like $200 million per season.
But that's also now and... Yeah, you know, I wonder what inflation was. Because, yeah, like, that's another thing, that's too. Crazy. Like, if you've got that expensive of a pilot and you're doing water stuff all the time and you're on location
and
in
you're
Florida,
using
like,
stock footage of Nirvana
good.
Babies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, you've got a target on your back as far as going to series to begin with, don't you?
Seems that way.
Yeah. And then what, like, this is, he's going to, quote unquote, become Aquaman?
Right.
Like, is that... But he kind of like already
is
like what they're never going to show us Atlantis. So what's going to change?
I figured end of season one, we see Atlantis, but then we don't go back to it till like season three.
Oh, yeah. There's some awesome mm-hmm. stuff there. You got
it's
you should
Metropolis.
Have seen it,
it's
Chloe.
Like,
it was
it
awesome. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like that's the at some point you have to go there.
Mm hmm.
Right, and see what's going on, and talk about a budget, right? If he's not there, he's just fighting crime on the dock. He's Baywatch, you know.
Yeah.
<It's> just,
right.
That's what the show is.
What if he got to Atlantis and it looked like the Gungan village in Phantom Menace?
It might
like,
have. That was
rudimentary
the
point
of
CGI.
Big
dude. Do that again.
He did it again.
Wow.
Use a bongo.
Oh, Lord.
He's going to speed you somewhere.
But they do, like, really, really roughly set out what the show's going to be of, like, I have to fight sirens and Standard Oil. You know, it's such a weird... The way Ving Rhames says, like, to fulfill your destiny of protecting the world you're from and protecting the world you love. It's like, okay, it's too much. It's too much for him to deal with.
But read Henry IV, parts 1 and 2.
Right.
Right.
There's plenty of sex and violence in there because we know that's all you want to read.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't
We're
worry,
talking
CW
to you,
fans.
Audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Lauren, did we anything left on your 25-point plan that we didn't cover?
Well, let me see. I don't know if you guys noticed, a lot of close-ups were slightly out of focus.
No, I didn't.
I was so enthralled by what was going on, I didn't pay attention to that kind of production.
Must have been looking at the cups of water.
Weirdly, it was like a lot of shots of Justin Hartley, and like they would like cut from him to whoever he was acting with, and like they'd be perfectly in focus. So like I knew it wasn't like a resolution thing. I don't know. It's interesting. This pilot costs a lot of money, I guess, because of on-location elements, and then I guess the like military elements. But they cut a ton of corners. And okay, one note I didn't mention before was the prosthetics on his chest are really bad.
Oh, when he gets
from the
slash,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I remember.
Yeah, remember when Zod burns a Z into his chest in season 9? I'm like, yeah, he's gonna have a great plastic surgeon because there's no skull. I mean, he's Oliver Queen, right? But yikes. Woo. Not just going away like that 8 that Jor-El gave him.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking of when you said that.
Well, those are my notes. They weren't. I didn't make notes to actually go through them. I just like it. It's there's no plot centric notes here. It's just my reactions. It's more like live blog, basically.
That's fair.
Well, yeah, I gotta say, guys, I enjoyed that very much. Like it's as you said, Kev, we would all have watched.
Oh yeah,
it every day.
Yeah, I would have been on it.
I would have set my VCR to record.
I would have been on your. You know, I would have been on your Patreon when you did an Always Hold On to Aquaman. I would have definitely been on
the Christmas episode.
Yeah, I would have been on the Christmas episode.
What do you fight like a shark one week and maybe a giant squid? Like you got to mix in like.
But like truly, and then I think sometimes like divers that are catching marlin, but then catch a siren and oh no, my world's collided. Right. And, you know, like that type of thing.
Yeah, animal
divers,
rights activist runs into Greenpeace.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the line that I thought my colleagues like. Oh, I thought we were gonna have a scuba list and you went on Greenpeace on me or something.
Right.
Yeah, because then you have like, oh, we got, oh, there's a buried treasure. There's a legend of a buried treasure. And, you know, oh, it's really in a, they think it's gold, but it's really an Atlantean art. Matt, we're writing the show right now. Well, I'm going to stop.
I'm into that, 100%.
People are going to have to pay for this great content I'm coming up with. So anyway, Aquaman, right? So I got a tally board. You guys let me know if I might have left anything off that you might have thought.
Hold on, Zach. I'm so sorry, but we should figure out what IMDb has rated this episode.
Look at this. This is why I have my trusty crew.
It, for some reason, they put a date on it, too. July 24th, 2006, which that seems brazen. 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow, that's not bad. Now, that is actually the date it was released on iTunes, Matt.
So oh, okay, cool. For that date. I know what I was doing on July 25th.
Wow, 7.1. Wow. So, yeah, you know what? Let's. Who wants to give this a letter grade scale? Lauren, what do you think?
My first instinct is B minus, but I really have to evaluate this for like when it came out, what it tried to do. Like, I don't know.
It's a qualified B minus.
That was just the first grade that popped in my head. I don't actually know what I would rank it as. Someone else go. I'll think about it.
Kev, what about you, man?
I'm gonna give it a C plus, man. It was average, but it's a passing grade. I would definitely keep watching it.
Matt?
Judging on the scale that you judge Birds of Prey episodes on, Zach, I think we'll go with the B minus.
All right. Lance.
I was going to say C plus, but I think I'm going to go B minus because if I would have saw like watched this, I was going to keep watching it. So that's why it gets bumped up to a B minus for me.
Yeah, I mean, just the fun we're having talking about it, you know, it kind of carries it. But I think Lauren has reevaluated her score. Lauren, you'd like to amend your statement?
No, I want to stick by it because it is a really rough pilot, but you can tell by watching it that it's pretty incomplete, like with all the stock footage, and like they probably have taken more time doing certain things if it would have gone to series. That said, I still think that the world building and all the loose ends are so interesting. Like, it's 2020 and I'm still wondering about this. So B minus.
Well, when you go to the Always on the Smallville Patreon, listen to me and Matt do the season one finale, you'll find all your questions answered. That's patreon.com/always.
When the treasure is revealed.
Hypothetically, who's in the crossover episode? When a crossover happens, who?
Oh,
when is it?
Oh, like Huntress, because it can't be Smallville. I have no idea.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
yeah, the birds
right,
of prey go. The birds go on vacation.
Aquaman will get Batman.
Oh no!
That's where Bruce Wayne went. He went to Mercy
Aquaman
Reef.
Aquaman will get Batman.
When he left Gotham. That's right. That's it. So that's a good challenge there, Lauren. Not only are Matt and I need to consider writing a season finale for this, but a crossover of some kind. We'll think about it.
Woof.
I'm going to go with B minus as well. I mean, just having so much fun talking about this. Like, put things in perspective. I gave Smallville's pilot a B plus. I feel really bad about that. But like, it was the first episode. I'm like, it's an A plus. I try to keep a level head when I review these things. So maybe we should re-review the pilot.
Yeah, two level. That's a good.
Well, no, because I think you review the Smallville pilot like very critically. So giving it a B plus is a great grade when you're versus like this is a perfect pilot, you know, and we're all looking at this as. Not bad, you know?
Right. As Matt said, the scale I created for
Birds of
Prey episodes.
Yes.
No, I love Metamorphosis. I think I give Metamorphosis like an A.
I think you did.
Anyway. So, yes. Yeah, so, if I can recall, B minus for me. B minus for Lance.
Yes.
C plus for Kev.
Yes.
B minus for Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And B minus for Matt. So, Kev, way to be bold and stand out, my friend.
Oh, am I used to it?
I would like to add that the Metamorphosis is greatly strengthened by ending with the calling, Wherever You Will Go.
Wherever
and the song
you
that
they go.
The song they end this with is just not remarkable.
I pulled out Shazam on my phone because I didn't know what the song was. Thankfully it picked it up, and it is 4 Minute Mile by The Gears. Sure. Now, if I were in charge of this show, I would have ended it with Grandpa Griffith's Aquaman. If you guys haven't heard that, you will at the end of this episode.
You sure will.
No, I was gonna make a request. No, because like
request, Lauren?
The trailer has the most awesome song ever. It's Downfall by Trust Company. And I watched that. That's why I watched the show. I watched the trailer and it was the most like metal thing ever. Not actually metal, but I got really hyped watching the trailer because of the music. It was really rock heavy.
Downfall by Front Company.
So Trust does nobody want company. The Mark Snow steel drum that he swim into in the beginning? Next time in a pool, I'm just going to hear.
Well, you know, we have used the Grandpa Griffith song when we talk about the Aquaman movie, so that's fair. So we'll reserve that for the cinema, the DCEU and cinematic adventures of Jason Momoa's Aquaman.
My man.
We'll use your. Yeah. we'll use your song, Lauren, to play us out in this episode.
Yes, you guys are going to be so pumped. You're going to want to watch it again.
Yes, watch the trailer? Because it's watch not in the episode, is it?
No.
Yeah, anyway, the tally board. The tally board is we have a plus one for episode title set episode. I was so happy. I was sitting, Lance saw me. Yeah. I was like, yes! When
it was
she
like,
said, I'm a pilot. I
was
like, yes!
Double fist pump in the air, a loud yes.
We had our female lead as a pilot. Had they not said pilot in the pilot, I would have been like, what a missed opportunity.
He so was so excited about that.
It was an exciting moment. That, and then when they thought they killed not Chloe, those are my two highest emotional reactions to the episode. We have glowing seahorse, plus five. Because the seahorse goes five times. We have a plus three for hospital visit because not Ocean Master goes.
Mm-hmm.
Angel of Vengeance goes.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Eva goes.
No yes. idea who these people's names actually are.
Yeah, me neither. Chloe's fine.
Matt, remember when we did the first episode of Krypton? Who was it? You and me, Matt?
It was you and me, and we couldn't do any.
We're like, who are these
Light
people's
Azad
names?
Might as well have been. Yeah.
Anyway. Tally.
Three hospital visits. We have a plus one for orange shirt, green pants, because he's wearing his non-Aquaman costume.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a plus two for plane crashes, because we see two plane crashes over the course of this episode. So that's our tally board, and it's going to stay there because there are no more episodes of this series. So,
glowing seahorses broke me, man.
I think you should. I think you should amend it and add hydration.
Wow, what? Ooh, that's like a good...
Power up. Like power. Hydration power up or something.
Saves my water.
Listen, our man Corey Moore will watch the show again and let us know how many times somebody hydrates, Corey. This is a shout out to you, Corey. Let me know. We'll put it in the show notes. So that was a lot of fun, guys. I had not seen this before. I know I'm a bad fan. Sorry. I do wonder if Smallville would have ended sooner if this had gone on to be a success. Right, because they're like, oh, well, we don't need to keep this going anymore. We have Aquaman, right?
Yeah.
Or if they would have found a way to cross them over, like they said, they would have done some retconning and, you know, hey, do you look a little different, AC? Oh, yeah. Working out. I don't know. We all were on the same page here. It is very of its time and of its place, but we love that time and place when it comes to superhero TV.
Yeah.
And what might have been. I guess someone else would play Green Arrow on.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Alan Ritson.
Yeah.
Alan Ritson. There's a precedent for that. I mean, they had, the Ashmore brothers mm-hmm. are practically the same
sure.
person. So.
That's true.
There must be two.
There must
two
be
Aquaman's.
Two.
So right. There it is, everybody. All righty. Well, thank you all for going into the Bermuda Triangle with me. Let's go around the table. Matt, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you? And your amazing comic book. Crisis on Earth 203, a Birds of Prey story. Is that what that's called?
Thank you. No, that was beautiful. On your Patreon with the Always Hold On to Birds of Prey at Birds of Prey TV on Instagram. And as Zach said, my fan comic is free on dailyknockoff.com, Birds of Prey, Crisis on Earth 203. And check out Lois and Clark because we just put an episode up with Craig Byrne.
Alrighty. What about you, Lauren?
You guys can find me anywhere on the internet at Lauren Eckel-Wynn. I'm on Twitter and I talk about DCU and Birds of Prey a lot and other superhero things. And you can see like my photography on Instagram.
Excellent. Excellent. What about you, Kev?
You can find me on Twitter at chill_us, chill_us. I'm probably liking everyone's tweets really fast. And I also co-host Always Hit on the Arrow with Lance Laster.
That's me.
Speaking of.
Yeah.
Lance, where can people find you?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. You can find myself and Kev talking about all the things that make Arrow Arrow at UFP Earth. Or you can find us on you know, our own Twitter handle, Do Not Fail Our Pod. We are Always Hold On to Arrow, the show that talks about all the things that talks that is about Arrow. I screwed that up too, but it's all good. All
season one, make
Arrow.
Fine.
Arrow. There it is.
Please follow us.
Yes.
All righty. As for me, find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. Post another podcast, Franchise Fatigue, over on the UFP Network at UFP Earth. We talk about movie franchises, sequels, remakes, and all that good stuff over there. As for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at AlwaysMallville. You can send us an email at AlwaysMallville@gmail.com once again with one S. Well, that's going to do it for this podcast, Always Hold On to Aquaman. It was fun while it lasted, everyone. And, yeah, we'll be back. You know, we got some other stuff going in the works before we come back for season 6 of Smallville. But yes, we will be back soon with other things, and definitely soon with season 6. But until then, always hold on to Aquaman.